Time for a look at some of the week's news in state politics. Republican lawmakers are planning to hire private attorneys to defend the state in a lawsuit involving Planned Parenthood. The GOP-controlled legislature continues to criticize Governor Evers' budget proposal. And a Wisconsin congressional representative is accusing a U.S. immigration agency of being dishonest about arrests made last year in the Madison area. Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief. Sean, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Rob.
We're in our different studio now. People may not know this. We haven't talked about this. Big construction work going on. We're in a temporary studio right now.
Feels
weird and different.
You can't hear it, but for us, it's a big deal,
right? It's pretty weird and different. All right. Now back to the news around the state. We've got these private lawyers now. Republican lawmakers are looking to hire some for this lawsuit from Planned Parenthood. Instead of counting on Attorney General Josh Call, give us some background here.
Yeah, this is kind of an offshoot of the new dynamic in state government, where you have Democrats holding the statewide offices, specifically governor and attorney general, and Republicans running the legislature. This comes from a lawsuit that Planned Parenthood filed in January that seeks to repeal state laws that make it more difficult for women, particularly those in rural areas, to receive abortions. Those restrictions include a law requiring that only doctors perform abortions, a law requiring women seeking medicine that causes abortions see the same doctor on two separate visits, and a law that requires doctors to be physically present when dispensing abortion-causing drugs. So they argue that those requirements are unconstitutional, that they don't enhance the health and safety of patients, but rather unconstitutionally limit access to abortions in Wisconsin.
Now, usually, apart from the merits of the case one way or the other, usually you sue the state of Wisconsin. The defense is provided by the state's attorney general in his office, right?
Right, exactly. I mean, that is he is the state's lawyer. So the attorney general is elected to defend the state in most cases. He doesn't have to do that, though. And we have had instances this year where Attorney General Call has not done it.
Mm-hmm. And so has he said one way or the other whether he's going to defend the state in this instance?
So in this instance, he is defending the state, but he hasn't come out and said what his position is going to be. Mm-hmm. And so Republican lawmakers are not going to wait to find out. What they did this week is they circulated a ballot that would let them hire private attorneys to try to intervene in the case. They'd need the judge, the federal judge overseeing this case, to let them do that. But they want to go out and hire their own lawyer because they don't trust Call, essentially.
Is this something we see in Wisconsin history, the legislature trying to pursue its own legal angle?
I mean, it's something we're seeing a lot more now than in recent memory, for sure. I mean, it could be that we had this, decades ago, potentially. I don't know. But right now, it's very prominent. It keeps coming up in cases where the state is being sued, the governor is being sued in his official capacity. We have some really complicated webs where the state is either a defendant or the governor is a defendant, and Republicans have reached out and hired their own attorneys, and Governor Evers has hired his own attorneys, too.
And as you say, even if they hire attorneys, it's not a done deal. The federal court has to recognize the existence of those attorneys and their right to argue the case alongside, I guess, the attorney general.
Yes, it's up to U.S. Judge, District Judge William Conley to approve them intervening. And I don't know what kind of precedent there would be for that in federal court, if that's just kind of a given that the answer will be yes or no. In state court so far, Republican lawmakers have had some success in hiring their own attorney to get involved in some of these other lawsuits involving the extraordinary session, the lame duck session we had in December. This one's in federal court, though.
Let's move on. We'll keep watching that story. We are in a budget year, which makes the budget process the big story in Wisconsin politics. Governor Evers released his own proposals. What are Republicans in the legislature saying they're going to do now?
The night that he released his budget, they were saying, we're going to do our own thing. I mean, it was Senator Fitzgerald who was most adamant that the governor pretty much had left them no choice. He was talking about people in his caucus, the Senate Republican caucus, who were going to look at the governor's budget and say, we can't do this. And so we're going to build our own budget. What that means in practice, I think we're going to still have to find out because, I don't know that they're going to toss the whole thing out and say, let's go write our own budget, or if it's a case where they take the budget vote by vote and have the governor's choice as an option and then their own choice, which is much less money probably in a lot of these cases, as an option. They can also, with a lot of these policy items that the governor has put in there, automatic voter registration, for example, a repeal of right to work, they can just put those on a list and say, hey, these are all policy. They don't have to do with the budget. Let's take them all out of there right now. That's pretty common when you have a split government, a Democratic governor and a Republican legislature.
What are some of the things in the budget, apart from those policy items you just mentioned, that Republicans say are such deal breakers that this isn't even a valid starting point?
One thing that seems to be coming back quite a bit is the governor's proposal to expand Medicaid in Wisconsin from people who earn up to 100% of the federal poverty level to people who earn up to 138% of the federal poverty level. It's a big deal because that is a piece of the budget that the governor has said is crucial. You know, his budget is kind of built around this expansion of Medicaid. He feels like it's embraced by the public, so he's out there talking about it regularly, and his cabinet secretaries are out there talking about it regularly. They want to talk about this. And every time they do, it seems like it provokes a stronger response from Republicans. I'm thinking about Speaker Voss in this case, who say, no, no way, it's not going to happen. Speaker Voss called it welfare this week. We're not going to expand welfare, talking about the expansion of Medicaid. If they don't do that, if Republicans are adamant that you can't expand Medicaid, that is a lot of money that is not freed up in the budget, and a lot of what the governor wants to do can't get done.
Talking to Sean Johnson, WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief, about some of the big news in state politics this week. Something else that the legislature has to do is approve some of Governor Evers' appointees, cabinet appointees. The governor's nominee to be State Secretary of Safety and Professional Services, Dawn Krim, is facing some resistance in her confirmation process. What's going on?
This goes back to an incident in 2005 when Krim admitted to poking her then 5-year-old son's hand with a pen until it bled. The incident occurred after Krim read a letter from her son's school saying he'd poked another student with a pencil. The case was dismissed and no trial was held. Krim agreed to fulfill the requirements of a deferred prosecution agreement. She told lawmakers this week that that agreement required her to not have any brushes with the law for 6 months and to enroll in parenting classes. And according to documents released by the Evers administration, Krim later appealed the charges to the Dane County Department of Human Services, and they were dropped. But, I mean, I guess that coming out just recently is what Republican lawmakers, Republican senators specifically, are looking into. They asked her about it at a confirmation hearing this week. They have to give her they have the ability to reject her confirmation if they want to. They haven't said they're going to do that. They've just said that they're scrutinizing her record at this point.
So they haven't given a signal one way or the other whether they would confirm her based on this information that's out there.
They haven't said firmly that this is going to cause us to vote no. Mm-hmm. In fact, what they seem to be focusing on is not what happened in 2005 or how that was resolved. They seem to be focusing on the fact that Governor Evers didn't tell them about this stuff and that it was reported in the press a couple weeks ago for the first time. That's how they found out about it. They're more focused on sort of the process of how they learned about it and Evers' decision to nominate her rather than what Krim has said and done.
And just process-wise, more broadly, Sean, the governor appoints cabinet secretaries and just the state Senate then weighs in on those?
That's right. And it's not like a federal judgeship or something where a president nominates somebody and they don't get to start serving unless the Senate confirms. Mm-hmm. When it's a cabinet secretary, a governor appoints them. They're running the agency one way or another until they get whether or not they get Senate confirmation. So Dawn Krim is the secretary of the Department of Safety and Professional Services. For all intents and purposes, she doesn't have Senate confirmation right now, but she can do her job, as can the other cabinet secretaries, without that Senate confirmation.
And then Congressman Mark Pocan had filed a Freedom of Information Act for ICE, U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. This is going back to some raids in Wisconsin, including the Madison area, part of his district. What is happening there? What's going on?
He's saying that the federal government overstated the number of people with criminal histories who were arrested in a raid from last year. So shortly after this raid, ICE released a statement saying that more than half of the 83 individuals that they had arrested had prior criminal histories. In October, Pocan said that he asked the federal government to share information about the criminal histories of those apprehended. He received that information last month. He said that his office was only able to confirm criminal records for 23 people. Reporters, WPR included, reached out to ICE for comment. They did not respond to the congressman's press conference where he talked about this.
And what's he looking at now as a next step? He's saying he's not getting all the information he wants from ICE, apparently.
Big picture, he's saying that this is an agency that's running rogue under the president, that the president's using it as a, quote, police force, his personal police force, in order to justify his wall. And so Pocan, who represents a very liberal district in Wisconsin, is putting a lot of pressure on this and saying ICE needs to back off.
And then finally, Sean, a lot of buzz about this announcement this week from the Democratic National Committee saying they're going to hold their convention in Milwaukee in 2020. That's a big deal. Presidential convention. What are you seeing? What are you hearing from people in the state capitol about this?
I mean, Democrats are pretty excited, obviously. This is a huge deal for them. This is where the entire national party apparatus is going to come together, nominate a candidate for president, talk about the direction of their party. And their picking of Wisconsin is saying, hey, you, Wisconsin, are extremely important to us. You're a small state in terms of electoral votes. Milwaukee is not a huge city among those that were in the running for this convention, but it got picked because of Wisconsin's importance in this. And so it gives Wisconsin Democrats kind of a chance to shine in a national stage with this convention.
And Republicans have been responding. They're concerned. They're interested in Milwaukee's socialist past reaching back a half century or so.
Yeah, kind of some backhanded compliments from Republicans. The state Republican Party saying it's a perfect location for Democrats because, I mean, when you think about this in the context of the national debate now, what are Republicans saying about Democrats? They're saying they're lurching to the left, that they're becoming a socialist party. And hey, look, it's just perfect that they're gathering in Milwaukee, which has had socialist mayors in its past. It's worth noting that Milwaukee has also been the home to many a state Republican convention there. So it's not like they're averse to gathering there themselves.
Sean, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks, Rob.
That's Sean Johnson, WPR Capitol Bureau Chief, here to catch us up on the week's news in state politics.